In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
So, one of my sons asked me the other night, if boys can be elected mayor in Boston. They have been, and they will again someday, but not tonight.
Betches Media presents.
Madam Speaker, Madam Vice President.
You want to hang out with us? Get your vaccine. Vaccine.
And so I went to Human Resources.
There are some things I just can't tell you on air.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
A woman's problem, if you will.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. The clip you heard before we got started was Boston Mayor-elect Michelle Wu giving an acceptance speech last night because it was quite a bright spot in a night with some disappointments, we'll call them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who was, did people start spiraling last night or this morning?
I was out and about last night, so I didn't really, I was like doing stuff. So it was when I got back into the car and like checked, I feel like around like 11, I checked and it was like Youngkin had won. And I was like, shit.
Yeah, yeah, that's when you texted me. I was asleep.
Yeah, I was like, damn, this sucks.
Just Youngkin.
I had other things occupying my brain up until that moment.
I have not been following Virginia politics, admittedly, but I was already spiraling this morning. I mean, yesterday morning.
Yeah.
I fucking wrote this super long post on my Instagram of like, mad about,
yeah,
like, even this mayoral race of like, the best that we have is a pro-police guy who, you know, there is a side-by-side, like, Curtis Siwa, like, has 17 cats, and he tried to take one of his cats, whatever. I'm sure at least we'll tell you the story.
Yeah, we can, I'll cover that in a minute.
You... Yeah.
But Eric Adams...
No rules today.
There was a side-by-side tweet where, like, he drove on the sidewalk last week.
Yes.
Because he didn't want to wait in traffic. So he just put his car on the sidewalk for like two blocks to avoid traffic. And like, yeah, that's our new fucking mayor.
That's the type, yeah, that's the type of New Yorker that's going to lead us. Excellent.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
So like, you know, I was just so mad. And then people are just like, yeah, in the liberal bastion of New York, we have two, you know, and it makes me upset because I just feel like I'm really curious because De Blasio had, even though De Blasio is white, a lot of his fam, you know, his kids are not, and his wife is not, and I feel like he got a lot of racist vitriol. So I'm really interested to see like how this black mayor who's pro police is gonna
right.
get from the police union and everything.
Yeah, because De Blasio ran as like a progressive. I remember when De Blasio yeah. ran, he was like, they made it seem like he was the most progressive man that's ever run for anything.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he is. I feel like he is a progressive.
He is, but it's absolutely, just like, yeah.
That's why the mayor job is thankless, because I'm just like, you really can't get anything done if police hate you. Like, they won't make your life hell. You know, if you're mayor, like, and police don't like you. But it's like, fuck, that sucks, you know? They should have a union.
Well, that's why, yeah. Yeah, I mean, so what we're seeing in Minneapolis today, we're going to focus mainly on Virginia, but we'll probably bounce around. In Minneapolis, I think the mayor, Jacob Frey, is going to be reelected. He's a Democrat, mm-hmm. but he has been very against the, like, I don't even know what to call it. There's no defund the police movement. Like, he's just been very against that concept. And in Minneapolis, they also did have, like, I think it technically is a ballot measure about potentially mm-hmm. replacing their police force with more of a a unit that looked more like just a general public safety unit. And the city of Annapolis voters there, they overall did reject it, but it was only 56 to 44. So like they got 44% of people in that city to say, we got to radically reform this, which
yeah,
a lot of dissonance as we're looking at today as well.
Yeah, it's very interesting, but I think like there's going to be so much made about like what to take from all of the results last night that there aren't a ton that were awesome.
Right. And some of the things like you were saying, Millie, like you started getting irritated yesterday morning. It's like I'm trying to be mindful with my reactions of like what percent of this is just me reacting to literally what happened yesterday and feelings I had before that were now just like, fuck, like now it feels even worse because it's been proven. And so let's look at Virginia first. Like you said, Elise, and as we said this week, we want to like be careful extrapolating and just be very like circumspect with the messages that we take, because there are messages here. But I do think this moment is like important not to get too, I mean, like this morning I saw a CNN headline that was like Democrats got too close, got burned by like defund the police. That is not the
lesson. That's not
the lesson. Those are not the lessons. Those are not the lessons. So let's talk about New Jersey. I've seen calls this morning that Phil Murphy will win. Cook Political Report, the guy that runs that, Dave Wasserman,
yeah,
says he's
going to
win.
New York Times said that he's going to win.
So oh, good. Okay, great.
In the newsletter this morning, so who knows.
And this was something that as we saw last night into this morning, people were like, oh my God, really defeatist and really scared about it. And that's true. But I also want to note, I was reading a little bit more about it this morning, that New Jersey is also one of these really flip-floppy states with these patterns. And the fact that Murphy did hold on is good. He sort of like broke a pattern, whereas McAuliffe wasn't really able to do that. So let's talk about how Glenn Youngkin became the governor-elect of Virginia. It was close. We always knew it was going to be close in one way or the other. Maybe probably a little less close than Democrats had hoped, but it was at 51 to 49% at this time. And the GOP is also poised to take over the Virginia House of Delegates, which is...
Damn, I thought it was 50-50 this morning.
It is. It still mm-hmm. is. Nothing's confirmed, but I saw that like they got new numbers like literally moments ago that maybe tipped it to like 52-48.
Yeah, I had seen that apparently the Virginia Constitution has no... There's nothing in it about what to do if there's a tie. So, like, if it was 50-50, there's nothing that exists to fix that.
Does, like, the vice president of Virginia get to...
There's nothing. I mean, I guess they would have to figure it out. But, yeah, there's nothing.
Wow. Well, that would be...
Constitution. The Commonwealth's Constitution has not addressed that issue, which
that would be a fascinating challenge to have to figure out. As we've talked about, Virginia usually doesn't elect a governor of the same party of the president. And that pattern held. I guess they thought by maybe putting up the same exact person that broke that pattern before, that was their strategy, it seems. That worked for Joe Biden. It did not work here. There seemed to be enough evidence that Virginia over time had like swung far enough to the left that this pattern wouldn't hold, that it was over. But apparently not. Youngkin is a Trump Republican in Mitt Romney Republicans' clothing. He has been able to mm-hmm. sort of like distance himself with that and try to seem like he's just this like rich dad in a vest who like just wants to make sure you're okay and like can like have a
the
summer
vest
house. And
is like a huge part of Youngkin's whole thing. Like if
absolutely.
You haven't Googled him, you have to see that he wears this vest. And I think that basically his whole image is crafted around the vest that he wears.
Youngkin is like you're like the lone like Republican boyfriend that everybody else is like, well, he's fine, like he's okay, not him, he's fine. But then you find out that like his mom
you
is
ask
at
him
the
a
Capitol.
Couple questions,
yeah,
yeah, you like you go, you're like, no, he's actually nice. And then you like ask him like three questions at a party and you're like, oh God. But that's what I was gonna say, is like that's what a lot of Virginia is. And I think that Youngkin and his vest gave them just enough cover to, I think that a lot of Virginia voters, and I'm talking about white Virginia voters, no
obviously,
one
yeah.
is polling or even asking questions to black Virginia
right.
voters as far as I've seen.
They
so,
never do.
Exactly. Like, I truly have not, but Millie, you sent a tweet about this in our thread earlier, but, like, I have not seen any interview asking, like, a Virginia parent who's black what they think about is being taught in the schools. But I do think that Glenn Youngkin harnessed his, like, conservative boy in a vest energy. And he also activated the Karens. Exactly. And that is very powerful. As we know, Karen does have power, and he activated them, and he made them think that, well, they wanted to think it, but his thing about schools and being like, Terry McAuliffe wants to tell you, wants to keep you out of your kid's education. It's like, that is the perfect thing to stir up a, like, maybe slightly liberal on social issues white Virginia woman voter. Like,
I mean, that's exactly who it was. It was the...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, just like what you... I want to know what y'all speculate. Was it that Republicans got more people and, like, Terry just couldn't get people excited about him the same way that people were excited about Youngkin? Or, like, are you, like, because I'm just like, is it really that everything's trending right? Or is just that the right was able to get more people out to vote, like, in this election? And, you know, the left were, you know, the Dems were not. Or, yeah, I'm just wondering what y'all think.
I think that Democrats are extremely unpopular right now. I think Virginia has a lot of people who genuinely are like moderate Dem to like lightly conservative. Like they straddle the line and kind of depending on the issue could swing either way. And I think that Glenn Youngkin gave them like just enough respectability to like lean into their conservative side for this. And I think they actually liked Obama. I think Virginia did really like Obama. I think that Joe Biden his reputation is not good right now. His Democrats' reputation is not good right now. I feel like a lot of what we're seeing is that Democrats had nothing to run on. And Republicans have something to run on, which is just because they're the opposition party. It's change. It's, you know, it's negative, regressive change in their case. But when you're in the opposition, you always have something to run on, which is we're going to change who's in power. The party that's in power needs something to say. And Democratic candidates did not have anything to say in this election.
We but also think, don't lie. Like, they lie.
Well, yeah.
They lie and we don't, but we can't. What can we say? You know, that's the thing. It's like, did Dems get $15 minimum wage? No. Did Dems cancel student loans? No. You know what I mean? So it's just like, yeah, like, what can we, like,
what can we say? What are we giving them to vote for?
Right? Yeah.
Child tax credit? No. Are we lowering prescription drug prices? No. Paid leave? No. So, like, it's just like, for me, it's like, yeah, like,
but also, like, yeah, a white, non-college educated woman in Virginia doesn't need to vote for Terry McAuliffe to get paid leave. It's got nothing to do with that, right? Like, this is what I'm confused, like, this is why I don't really know, like, what we extrapolate to national politics. I think it's like Elise was saying, it's like they don't have anything to vote for. Like, there seems to be last time this thing that, like, was really motivating people with Trump. Like, this is just, like, white women, Trump was bad for them. Their lives were, our lives were harder because even if it was just inconvenience and noise, that was enough for them to be like, I don't want this. But then you have this man lying about schools. And, like, to be really frank, like, the media ecosystem is totally broken. I wonder if that's the issue where I can be like, no, that's not actually happening in schools. Like, maybe we're just so, like, divided in how we socialize and, like, those thought patterns aren't getting interrupted like maybe they did during the Trump election where they're just like, oh, no, like, this guy is saying that these books are going to give my kids nightmares. And I don't really know what Terry McAuliffe is giving me. So I would rather my kids not have nightmares about slavery.
Well, it's really interesting. There is. I was watching this segment on Daily Show last night about Virginia because I think, what is it, Youngkin worked for Carlyle Group, which bought Taylor Swift's masters.
I tried to work up white women with that, and it didn't work.
Yeah, exactly. But then they like talked about like women voters who are Swifties in Virginia and all that stuff. But, and like, that was funny. But it's just like, is that really the best you got? Is that this guy, like, bought, like, works for the group that bought Taylor's masters? Like, what the fuck? But I guess for me, I feel two things. On one end, I feel like, and this is what a lot of, you know, a lot of my Twitter like bubble has been, as we're talking about bubbles. But yeah, like a lot of my Twitter bubble has been saying like, this is what happens when you don't run on big, bold change, when you don't do big, bold change, when you let moderates like get in the way, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? So like, that's one thing that I'm hearing. Another thing, it's like, to be fair, things have changed and things are going left. Like there, you know, like the fact that 44% of people in Minnesota voted for police like abolition is great. And I just think about how much Black Lives Matter, even that slogan has changed in the past 5 or 6 years to something that was so radical and like, so what the fuck, to like kind of commonplace where most places, like people on their dating app profiles and on their businesses have Black Lives Matter. So there's like that realization. And then there's just also realization of like, which I'm seeing a lot by like Black intellectuals online, of like, this is reactionary. Like this always happens every time there's like a move to the left, like, and we feel like we're making progress racially or culturally, there's always like a kind of jerk back and this is normal. And then, you know, so I'm dealing with those things. I'm like positive or whatever. And then there's this other side is like, well, there are a lot of progressives that lost, and like maybe progressives, you know, like India Walton and all that stuff, where it's just like people don't want progressive stuff, like blah, blah, blah. And even the right, because to the right, this is all the same. There's no moderate or socialist Democrat. They're all like whatever. So even this morning, Woke Lash was trending, and it's just like a backlash of wokeness, which is like, I don't know anything about Terry McAuliffe, but I'm not, that man is not woke.
Exactly. It's so bewildering to me that the reaction to moderates losing is that we went too far to the left. Like, this That's man has been saying for weeks, the Biden administration needs to just like come on board and be more bipartisan. Like, Terry McAuliffe did not lose from being too progressive. Maybe India Walton did, but that was also, India Walton was, she won the Democratic primary in Buffalo, was poised to be the first socialist mayor of a major city. But the previous mayor who she beat in the primary was able, you know, not a lot of people really vote in primaries. You have to be really animated. So he had an opportunity to sort of really drive support and probably fearmonger about socialism. And he ended up winning in a write-in.
Yeah, he did a write-in campaign and like kind of sabotaged her. So
yeah.
that's really
fucked up too by Democrats as well. But, you know.
Totally.
But then that's only going to hurt us. I don't know.
I mean, the thing that I really am taking away from it, looking at Virginia, looking at New Jersey, which I think, you know, Murphy's going to still win, but people were surprised to see how close it got in New Jersey. People thought that he was safe. And just like looking at the things that flipped, I think what we're seeing isn't that one particular message. Like, I think critical race theory is a fertile message for the state of Virginia. I think it was well chosen by the Republican Party. Virginia has a lot of weird relationship with its own history as like the history of the Confederacy. It struggles with that. It's a very like white suburban lady driven place. And so I think that that issue was very well picked for Virginia.
And that choice of words is so perfect, Elise. Well chosen, well picked. Yeah. This is not an inherent belief of the conservative movement. Mm-hmm. This is the populism thing
they
saw.
This is like literally, sorry, like, this was the migrant like caravan shit that was around the midterms like in 2018. This is the new thing.
So what I think is just what I'm really taking from this is the dysfunction that we have seen in passing this bill, which I don't think that like necessarily every voter is following the minutiae of passing this bill. But I think that the general feeling of, oh, these people aren't doing anything has trickled down. I think a general feeling of like stuff's not getting done, things aren't changing at the rate that I want them to. Biden is like not inspiring me. Yeah, like I think that feeling is really strong in this exact moment, and it makes it really easy for Republicans to find an issue like critical race theory and use it to eke out a victory in a really close race. So I think the lesson we need to take from it is like Democrats need to provide these candidates with something to say. They need to give them something to run on. And like, And like, if we don't, then Republicans are going to be able to go into these little local places, find some bullshit small thing, blow it up, and use it to, you know, get the 2 or 3 points that they need to flip the thing.
Yeah. And on an, in a national context, like, I can't, people have to have either something really big to gain or lose from voting. So people must have felt this time that what they had to gain, or maybe what they had to lose, was like control over their children's education. Like, and the fact that right now in Congress, we're looking at this bill, and some of the most popular things are things for, like, think about like a mom in their 40s. They're looking at caring for their parents soon too. So like, some of the most popular things are those things. We need in 2022 for that voting group to be like, oh, I don't want to lose that cheaper home health aid for my parent. I don't want to lose this child tax credit. But yeah, the longer, yeah, we need to get people really used to it. We can't roll this out and then have it for 4 months. Like Millie said, it's like, Republicans have given up on the Affordable Care Act, on getting rid of Obamacare. Hopefully. I mean, who knows? If they take over again, they could try it. But they don't really talk about it much because they know you're taking it away from people, and people will come out to vote to be able to keep it.
And yeah, like, that's the thing, right? Like, if it's like, but that's what I mean. It's like, if we got student loans forgiven, then you have all these fucking people who are like, yeah, I'm going to vote because Republican. And then they ran on, Republicans are going to take away this forgiveness. They're going to want you to pay whatever. Bam. Or if we have, honestly, even just roads and highways and trains and buses, right, are fucking terrible. New York is really bad. And then I was in New Orleans and I'm like, this is awful. Like, what? Like, the infrastructure is awful. Like, there are third, you know, whatever, quote unquote, third world countries that have better roads than we do in America. And I'm just talking about major cities. You know, there's places in the middle of nowhere that are crazy. Then, yeah, but it's like the child tax credit, it's another example of like, Republicans are going to take that away. But what do Dems want to do? Mean test it. And it's not Dems, it's Joe Manchin. That's the thing that like, it kind of angers me, is because like, I'm just like, really? Is there nothing we can do about Joe? Like, I know. If Joe was a Republican, like, they've got Lindsey Graham. They got all these Republicans to fuck. They just like muscle them a little bit. I'm like, I don't want to like do violence, but it's just like, fuck. Yeah. Like, you're really going to let Joe Manchin ruin everything?
Why isn't Joe Manchin scared of losing the majority? So this is a question I wanted to ask you.
He doesn't care.
Yeah, he doesn't care. So like, how do Joe Manchin, if you're Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, are you scared by anything you saw? Are you more motivated to like move quicker on some things?
I think both of them. We'll look at, I think both Learned of them nothing. Are so twisted and fucked up that they're going to look at it and be like, see, I'm right. Like, I don't know. Yeah. And it's like, I don't even know how they get there, but they'll be like, see, the moderate position is better. All these people were too far left, even though that's not true at all. And like, Terry McAuliffe wasn't far left, and like, Phil Murphy isn't far left. And like, that's not fucking true. But they're going to look at it and they're going to be like, I wouldn't even be surprised if we get a statement from Manchin that's like, you know,
balance has been restored.
Yeah, yeah, like, it's off. Interesting to see the voters.
Yeah.
I wonder what the Biden administration is thinking now. Like, that's who I feel like is kind of freaking out right now. Or they fucking saw a company. I would be freaking out because it's just like, and then I'm just like, it sucks, but I'm like, do some executive orders, bro.
Yeah, and like we're saying, we're saying that, like, well, the student loan thing he needs to do tomorrow. There's a really good Ezra Klein's podcast. He does a lot of like discussions on student loans, but his most recent one is with, I think her name is Tressie McMillan Khan. She's like the smartest person in the world, and she did an interview with somebody about student loans. And a lot of the conversation about student loans is that they're regressive, and they benefit the people that are already doing well. But when you really look at it, like, canceling or forgiving federal student loan debt is kind of the best thing you can do for racial equality. You're going to cut the wealth gap in half. Like, you're basically going to put it on to like the wealth gap in this country is like 20-1. It's literally like, it's broken. It's statistically bizarre compared to other countries that our wealth gap is like this. Like, go listen to the podcast. It's all about student loans. But if you're somebody who is sometimes convinced by the argument that it could be regressive and just help people that are already doing well, I really encourage you to listen to that. But there are sort of like, it is very frustrating to hear people say like, oh, Democrats are doing nothing, because it's literally just one dude. But at the same time, what we're seeing in Virginia is mostly culture war stuff that's like completely unrelated.
No policy. And
no policy. Like critical race theory, no, there's not a teacher in Virginia that is teaching
not
critical
one.
Race theory in its purest form. This originated as a graduate class. In reaction, and Youngkin said he was going to ban it. I'm like, ban it from where? But in reaction to the 2020 protests and like a collective acknowledgement that this country has historically been terrible to Black people in particular, most states, including Virginia, have worked to like diversify some of its class material. In Virginia, like that literally means just like getting Robert Lee's face off everything. Like this is so delayed.
Yeah.
Like you're like, not
listen,
like.
It's, but that's the thing is that Virginia is like what they actually teach you in schools about like the Civil War and stuff is crazy and not correct. And so like, and people, there are a lot of people in Virginia who are like still Civil War fetishist people who are like, my grandpa was in the Civil War. And you're like, yeah. Where, what did he do?
And you would
like,
say these
like,
are,
I don't know. Like,
yeah,
it's, you know, like,
and these are not just Trumpy, terrible Republican QAnon people like that are.
No, these are like middle of the road Virginian people. There's just a lot. I mean, it was the capital of the Confederacy.
Yeah.
It was the capital of the Confederacy. There's a lot of that shit there under the surface. They like to dress it up like Glenn Youngkin in a little vest and put a tie on it and be like, oh, we're cool with gay people. But underneath it all, like all that stuff is still.
Watch Trump. Yeah. Trump announce his 2024 campaign just wearing a Patagonia vest.
Yeah, he's. Woke.
I mean, literally.
Well, no, that's. But what I was gonna say is
not Patagonia. That, they're too woke.
No, there's a lot of unwoke people that. You're, if you work in finance in New York City, you own three of those vests.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the critical race theory is coming at a time when white America knows is starting to pick up on gradually, little by little, they're losing power. Like they're losing, you know, leverage. It's not cool anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like it's not, things aren't centered around them anymore. They see Hollywood, you know what I mean? And they're scared. And, you know, Democrats, you know, whatever, like, it's tough because as disappointing, it's like, yeah, we don't lie and we don't hinge on people's fear. You know,
right.
We're not like.
We try to with climate change. We're trying.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But people, that's that, it's fucking telling that, you know, a lot of white people are worried about people feeling bad about slavery and not worried about like, and worried about their kids feeling bad about slavery and not worried about like when their kids are in high school, it's going to be so fucking hot. They can't play sports. It's going to be like there's all this shit that's actually, they should be scared about.
Glennie boy's not going to need a vest anymore.
Or like, you know what? America's like losing, like has lost a lot of its superpower and no one's going to come. There's not going to be good jobs.
Sammy and I were talking about this morning. Like, there are things that Democrats can inspire fear about. And I guess maybe COVID let us win the last. But like, do we have to be staring down millions of American deaths to win a goddamn election? My God.
Apparently. And apparently. Also, too, like, as like sad or whatever as it is, like for Virginia, like to go red, I just have to be like, yo, Georgia went blue.
Yeah.
And Wisconsin went blue and Arizona went blue and New Mexico. You know what I mean? So like,
yeah, this is a warning shot, not like a full on assault. It's a warning shot. And we need to like.
And it's also a warning shot of like shit that we like after we shot like 10 times.
Right? I know.
Because again, like we had major shifts in a lot of these red states. So, you know. There is like something to be said about that of like, yes, Virginia went blue and like New Jersey's a little bit whatever, but like these other places more, if we activate and we run well and all this other stuff, it is possible for these places to be blue.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like what I'm trying to remember too.
Yeah, yeah. I think, yeah, hearing the specific Virginia context is pretty encouraging, honestly. I mean, Youngkin took it as far as he had a campaign against the teaching of Toni Morrison's Pulitzer Prize winning novel Beloved, and he used an ad with a conservative activist who said that the novel's depiction of racial violence gave her son nightmares. Listeners, her son was a high school senior. High school seniors are almost 18. You can send 18-year-olds to war, but you don't want him to have nightmares about this? And like, as you were about saying, Beloved. Lily, it's like, what about Darnella Frazier's nightmares? What about little black kids' nightmares? Like,
exactly.
You don't hear
who's
this
Darnella
at
Frazier,
all.
Amanda Zuberman?
She's the one that videotaped Joe or George Floyd's murder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. And there's a ton of teens every day. I was just reading about police violence against teens and how black teen girls are 20 times more likely to be tased, beat up, or whatever than white teen girls. And like,
of course, insane.
Yeah, but like,
can you imagine a white teen girl in Virginia getting tased and beat up in school? The outcry, oh,
because she's fighting or whatever. Like teen girls are assholes. You don't fucking tase them. Like, whatever. But like,
Makia Bryant is dead because
but that happened. You
she
know
got
I mean?
In a fight.
But like, that is all trickled down from like people not understanding the context of, you know, the power dynamics in this country. So it's like, yeah, we should be teaching critical race theory.
I know, it's right. It's like, we're not teaching critical race theory, but would it be the worst thing if we did? Yeah. Ugh. So let's pivot to what Democrats can learn from last night's results. Like we said, it's not too much. I don't want to project too much. But to do that, we want to look at more than just the single race. As we said, Michelle Wu is a progressive who won in Boston. Very exciting. There were two pretty, well, I don't know if the other one was considered super progressive, but that was a big win. Pittsburgh elective progressive Ed Gainey, who will be the city's first black mayor. There are a bunch of cities that are going to get their first black mayors. India Walton, as we said, she was defeated by the former mayor. She would have become the first socialist to head a major American city. And we went through some of those Minneapolis ballot measures. So like we said, there's not a ton of consistency in what people were rejecting. I mean, we sort of talked about earlier, like, if you're Joe Biden, what are you calling Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and saying, like, this is what we have to do? Are you calling and saying, so here's the thing. He's not calling. I'm answering my own question. Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi are not the ones that are like, defund the police. And he's the only one that he really has like any control over. I mean, what is Joe Biden supposed to do about? If you're Joe Biden, what are you doing today? Who are you bustling?
Kidnapping Joe Manchin's dog. You can get it back. You can get your yacht and your dog back.
That's a great idea. I'll watch it.
Back. I'm just like, how have we not tried this?
Yeah.
You know what?
Really...
Joe Manchin is the kind of guy that probably doesn't have a dog.
No, but he has a yacht. We can like put a hole in the yacht. There's property
Somebody
damage
has...
to be had.
There's property damage for sure. I mean, I was thinking, like, how has nobody graffitied his yacht? It must be like just secured within an inch of its life.
No, people like kayaked up to it. No.
Yeah. That's true.
The kayaktivists did.
Yeah. I guess you couldn't do that in like broad daylight though, but you could take one for the team, Millie. No. Just broad daylight.
Well,
so will any closing thoughts for Virginia? I mean, I've been trying to think about like messaging for the next year, and I'm with you, Millie. I mean, there's no reason to run like milquetoast white moderates because they won before. It's like the context is different. Yes, Terry McAuliffe won before under unique circumstances, and it's like they put him up because they thought he was kind of a safe choice like Joe Biden. But Joe Biden was a safe choice a year ago. Joe Biden probably wouldn't win today. So why did we put him up? Do you think next cycle we're going to finally see fewer just like moderate, same old candidates? Do you think we're going to take that lesson from this moment or probably not?
I don't know. I'm also like, my friend pointed out that like the multiracial coalition is growing in Republican circles too. With like more black conservatives, Asian conservatives, and Latino conservatives. So, you know, I feel like it's tough. Like Dems need to like not just rely on that. I feel like the focus has been, we're going to focus on kitchen table issues, quote unquote, for white moderates, but then know that all the other people of color are going to vote for us anyway. And I really hope that there becomes more work to entice. And you know milquetoast or not, like, we need populist ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
exactly,
those are
yeah.
so popular. Socialist, like, what you call it, socialist whatever, we do need, those ideas are insanely popular. 80% they're polling, you know? 80% of people want to tax rich people. Why aren't we doing, you know?
Yeah.
And like, yeah, even in a state level, they can do that. So, you know, that's kind of what I'm hoping we see in the future is like actual multicultural efforts from Dems and also populist social, whatever, like, you know, messaging.
Yeah, Martin, Republicans definitely seem to have the populism part on lock.
You know, we need a fear monger shit that's actually going to happen.
We do. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I was thinking about how, like, I was talking to somebody else about this, and the three of us obviously voted for mayor in New York. But imagine it were like, imagine if instead of Terry McAuliffe, it was more of a Michelle Wu type person. Like, you might be so much more motivated to turn out if you're going to get something cool and you're going to get a historic moment. Well, I mean, the people that voted in Boston, they're so excited. They're so proud to have gotten to be part of that. I know that's how I would have felt had we been voting for Maya Wiley. And like, I mean, it does take a little bit of excitement to get people out of their seats. And whether that's Bernie Sanders, who got a lot of people out of their seats because his policies were radical, or that's like just a multicultural, like there just has to be something that you're excited about. Like, people want to feel part of something. Like, I feel like that's what Democrats have, that maybe if we can't do the fear mongering, we can like make you feel part of something. That's how we got Obama. Like, maybe that's how we.
But that's, and that's what I'm saying. I'm like, was Terry a loss because Youngkin is so great, or is because he didn't like, he didn't inspire or get people excited, you know, the young people that you need to get excited about voting, you know, the same way that Youngkin got people voting.
Yeah, they weren't excited enough about Terry and they weren't scared of Youngkin enough.
Yeah, exactly. If it was like a Michelle Wu versus Youngkin, you know.
I think we'd be having a very different conversation. I mean, House of Delegates, we'll see. That might go either way, but still so many amazing candidates that I'm sure we'll like get into a pipeline. Before we end, Elise, do you want to tell us what happened when the Republican candidate from New York City tried to vote?
Yes, I do. So we, I don't think we really had an opportunity to get into the Curtis snowball at all.
We probably had opportunities, we just chose not to take
them.
But
it was like, but it's like, he was never going to be the mayor, so it's like, but he's an interesting figure for anyone who doesn't know. He was a part of the Guardian Angels, which was like a group, like sort of like a vigilante justice group in the 80s that patrolled the trains and made them safer. He wears a red beret. He has 17 cats.
I can't believe this is the Republican candidate. Has 17 cats in a studio and wears a beret.
He has 17 cats in a studio apartment. And he tried to bring one of them with him to his polling place, Gizmo, I believe was the name
Gizmo,
of the cat.
He tried to bring
Gizmo with him, and the people at the polling place were like, no,
well, it's not a service cat.
Well, the thing too is that he had his name on his jacket, right?
Well, that was the other thing, is that he also wears a giant red jacket that has his own name on it in enormous letters, which is, you can't wear that to the polls. That's electioneering. You're not supposed to do that. So they were like, hey, man, like, you showed up with a cat. You have a jacket with your name on it. Like, you can't come in. So then he got really mad. I think there was some sort of, like, yelling back and forth. He took the jacket off. A poll worker had to watch the cat.
Jesus Christ.
And well, he went in. Do you want to
No,
I'm
saying,
off
as somebody
this?
Who's no, no, no. I mean, you can finish the story, but I'm just caveating to say, as someone who was a poll worker and has worked with those women, you don't want to cross a New York City poll worker. They will fight you.
No.
I'm literally like scared I'm going to spell my own name wrong when I go there because I'm like, fuck, I'm so nervous.
I would have loved to see how it went down. But anyway, one of them did have to watch his cat while he went in to vote. And then when he went in to vote, I don't really understand, but he put his ballot into the machine so wrong that the machine broke.
Oh, my God.
And had to be repaired. So, a fantastic career for Curtis.
I really need this to be on SNL this weekend.
Well, they haven't really need it done to be on this. Well, there's no Latino man.
No, because Alexis Pereira...
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Alexis Pereira did a great courtesy town hall impression.
Oh, yes, that was her, yeah.
Yeah, so he so did good. It, and it's so
you
funny.
You can find it on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely come up on my TikTok. Mm-hmm. Yeah, is there a limit in New York City on how many cats you can have in an apartment?
I mean,
you would think it would be less than 17, so probably not. Yeah, his neighbors definitely didn't vote for
yeah,
him.
I mean, I definitely feel bad for whoever lives nearer to him.
But happy those cats have a home, I guess.
Yeah, but is it a good home?
He doesn't. He'll like, be home. He doesn't have to go to work. He doesn't have to become the mayor. I don't think you can have a mayor, be a mayor and take care of 17 cats.
Yeah, so. That's true. That's actually. I feel like you know Eric Adams never brought that up because he's like, well, if you're going to be mayor, who's taking care of these cats?
Yeah, I haven't gone. I've gone to the office like for 2 hours since it opened. Just I can't. Well, where my is?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, where does Eric Adams live?
No one knows.
We'll have to follow him. Thing. We'll just have to follow him driving on the sidewalk and figure out.
Yeah, I think Eric Adams is going to become a fun character for the podcast for the rest of his time. Because
that is a bright spot.
If you're a listener who hasn't Googled him, he's a real weirdo.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and his, like, son lives in that, like, he says that he lives somewhere, but it was totally, like, his son's, like, bachelor pad.
Yes, he says that he lives actually very close to me in Bed-Stuy when it's, a lot of people think he actually lives in New Jersey. So,
but his son lives there because, like, the decorations for the apartment are like sneaker boxes.
Right. And then there was also like sour cream and salmon in the fridge, and Eric Adams is a vegan.
Yeah. Yes. There's a very funny video, if anyone wants to Google it, of Eric Adams kind of clearly pretending his son's apartment is his apartment. And they're like, hey, man, there's meat in the fridge and you're a vegan. And he's like, I don't know. And they're like, are those your Air Force Ones? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah, I highly recommend that today. To turn
that's where he drove
around.
On the sidewalk, actually very close to me. And it happened so close to where I live that I'm like, what if I go out and I see Eric Adams just driving
You're gonna
the
see
sidewalk.
Him. You're gonna
I'm
see
gonna
him.
See him.
Well, he's gonna be here more. Just like what is it? Just like the Blasio, you always see him at that Park Slope YMCA.
Yeah.
You're gonna always see Eric. You're gonna see Eric Adams every on Lafayette walk driving on the sidewalk.
Driving on
just
the sidewalk.
Just gonna be what he does. Yep. Nobody's gonna bat
on Malcolm X Boulevard driving on the sidewalk.
By the any mayor. Means
by any means necessary.
What a world. That is our show today. Until the end of democracy. I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaris.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye.
The Betches Sup Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow @Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com. Betches.